Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, February 21st, 2024, on 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. My co-host Ron Meniza is out and about right now. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprouts. You can also check out my Facebook page and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. All right, so update on health stuff. Things are going pretty well. I didn't make a new show last week because I caught Ron's cold. I thought maybe I would escape it because I'm taking so many things that are immune supportive. But the problem is all the immune stuff in the world may not prevent you from catching a cold. And the thing is, I wasn't sick for very long. I was sick for less than a week, which for a cold, and this is the first actual cold that wasn't COVID that I had since February of 2020. So I had nothing, no respiratory infections. I had a respiratory infection, a bronchial infection in February of 2020, then nothing until I had COVID a year ago. February of 2023 was when Ron and I had COVID until this cold. So it was my first cold and I really didn't feel well for several days. It started to take me over. I was feeling a little tired, but I didn't start to feel sick until 5 days after Ron got sick, which was kind of interesting. And then I started to feel a little under the weather. Last Thursday, I felt well enough to work, but I warned my patients and I told them, you know, I'm feeling like I have a kind of a cold. You can come in if you want to. I will mask. You don't have to. Up to you. And everybody came. Only half my patients decided to reschedule. And one of them was virtual and three of them came in. One of them came in, he didn't care to mask. And my staff doesn't mask either, so who knows? Anyways, and then Friday I woke up and I'm like, nope, no can do, staying home. So I stayed home that day. And then Tuesday turned out to be a snow day. So it was too snowy for anybody to go outside. And I actually wound up seeing, again, a lot of people don't like to do virtual visits. So we offered everybody, had nothing to do with my health. We offered everybody the opportunity to do virtual and I'm able to do virtual from home. So I did that and I only saw four people on Tuesday. And so I had another day to recover, which was great. And then by Thursday, I was great. I was like really much, much better. It took a little while for the congestion to go away. This cold like really made your sinuses seize up and your Eustachian tube. So I felt like I was underwater. My ears felt like they were underwater. And that's really gone away. So it's been just over a week and I feel like I'm pretty much back to normal. Maybe there's a tiny bit of congestion left, but I feel good. I feel pretty, my energy's pretty good. The only time I had real low energy was at the end of the day yesterday after two straight days of patient care. So that was good. And I rested. I didn't really take much different than I was taking because I'm already taking vitamin C and zinc and olive leaf and vitamin A and vitamin D and lots of herbs for Lyme disease. So, and I'm also taking the azithromycin. So I'm still continuing to do that. I'm going to have a full month of azithromycin. I really feel like the azithromycin was helpful because I'm having less incidences of feeling shaky and nerve symptoms and tremors, even less since I started taking that. I'm continuing to take the Buner herbs, but I'm doing very well. And in terms of digestion, I have absolutely no upper digestion issues. My stomach is absolutely fine. No heartburn, no nausea, no nothing like that. And lower GI, as long as I eat a lot of fiber and limit my sugar, not even have zero sugar, but limit my sugar. And I take 10 billion Saccharomyces boulardii when I take the when I take the antibiotic, I take 10 billion of the Saccharomyces boulardii. Remember, Saccharomyces boulardii is a probiotic yeast that is not killed by antibiotics and not by azithromycin. So I'm taking 10 billion of those. And at the opposite end of the day, from when I take the antibiotic, I'm taking a good full probiotic as well, hoping that some of that's going to get in. And as it happens, I take a probiotic drink when I swallow the antibiotic. So I'm swallowing it. First, I had some kombucha, and now I'm doing what they call aqua kefir, and found this great aqua kefir brand, and it has lime ginger flavor. It's amazing. So I'm taking that. And so that's going pretty well. As long as I get my rest, things seem to be going well. And I was off the bike since early February, at first because Ron was holed up downstairs where my bike is, so I didn't want to catch his germs. And then I got sick, so I was going to stay off. I wasn't going to get on the bike while I was actually sick. So I've been off the bike for just about 2 weeks. And I got back on today, and so this was my first day back on, and I hope to continue to be on the bike. I've been doing some yoga, right? There's a few days I didn't do any yoga because I really didn't feel like doing anything at all. And then I got back to that, and now I'm back to taking nice yoga classes and YouTube yoga and doing that and back on the bike. And today I feel pretty good, I must say. I'm very, very pleased. The other thing that I wondered, and so Nicole, my acupuncture goddess. So I had an acupuncture appointment scheduled for Friday, the day that I took off work because I was too sick. And I said, Nicole, I'm not feeling well. I don't want to make you sick. I don't want to make your client sick. So why don't we reschedule for next week? Nicole said, no, come in. So remember when you used to be like, I'm the doctor. If you're sick, you could come in. Well, that's Nicole's approach. She doesn't care. She doesn't think she's going to catch my cold. And she said, you should come in. It will help you. So I said, okay. So I went in and I wore a mask when I wasn't in my own treatment room. And then I took it off in the actual treatment room because Nicole didn't mind. And she did a lot of points for my sinuses. And she also did points for not so much lymphatics, but she did points for my Wei Qi, which is the external qi that helps you to fend off infections. So she did some good points for that. And then when I got home, I went and went to bed. I got a fever. And I wasn't expecting, I don't know that Ron ever got a fever with this cold, but I did. And fevers are good. The fever only got as high as 100 and only Friday evening, right after I had my acupuncture treatment. The next morning, no fever. That was it. It was only that one night. So I'm wondering if that nice fever burned some stuff out. I didn't take anything to reduce the fever. I didn't take any NSAIDs at all. I try not to take pharmaceuticals if I can help it. The only pharmaceutical I'm taking right now is that azithromycin. But if I can manage pain another way, or if I don't take NSAIDs, I don't take a leave, I'm not going to take a medicine to reduce a fever, especially when the fever is low grade. I'm going to let my body burn out the microorganisms. And I think that was helpful. So I think she stimulated my Wei Qi, so my body went after the microorganisms. So that was really good. The other thing that I'm wondering, and I said this to Nicole, I wonder if, because one of the things that can happen with people with tick-borne illness is they report that they just don't get colds. And I talked to a friend who has chronic Lyme disease, who said, I just never get colds. She had COVID a year or two ago, but she doesn't get colds regularly. And I got a cold. And so the thing is, if you actually get a cold and you get sick with a cold and then you recover from it and then you're fine afterwards, that's really not a bad thing. That gives your immune system a workout. It gets your immune system to recognize whatever virus came through you, and it stimulates all of your immune proteins and gives you some immune memory. I wondered if this stimulation of my immune system, you see, you have your cellular and your humoral immunity. Your cellular immunity is the nonspecific part of your immune system that goes after microbes in a nonspecific way. So your neutrophils, your basophils, your monocytes, they will go after anything that's not supposed to be there. And then your lymphocytes are the ones that encode themselves and turn themselves into antibodies, and they get a signature so that they become encoded to go after specific microorganisms. And so so you have those two parts of your immune system. So if your immune system is kicked up, the neutrophils and basophils and monocytes can run around and go after whatever's around. And so I wondered if that part of my immune system could went around and happened to see some Lyme and Bartonella and chewed on it. Because I feel better overall, not just, you know, and just in terms of my energy and my tremor symptoms since I had the cold. So let's hope that that continues. And my plan is to finish the antibiotic and then continue on for as long as I need to, because I have to see, hopefully I'm going to be symptom free or, you know, at this level of symptoms after I'm done the antibiotic. I plan to continue the Buhner herbs for at least another month or two after that, because you're basically supposed to treat until you are well, plus another month or two. So that's what I plan to do. I'm not going to, you know, back off on the Buhner herbs or the Buhner protocol or the modified citrus pectin for until I see that I'm well for at least a couple months. It makes you nervous because you get dependent on these things and you think that that's what's doing it, that's keeping the stuff at bay, and stopping it is unnerving. So I'll see what happens. Hopefully by the time it's May and I have to travel to go see my mother, I won't have to cart, you know, bottles and bottles of all these herbal remedies. So let's hope, right? So that's what's going on in terms of health. In terms of orthopedics are doing pretty well. My knee is a little off still. It's a little sore, and I'm looking forward to getting another acupuncture treatment at the end of the week. I didn't go to the other thing is I had a float scheduled for last Sunday and I was sick and I called Angie and said, I'm not going to do the float. So I'm doing the float tomorrow, which is great. On Sunday, I'll do a float and followed by a restorative yoga class live. So that'll be really nice when I get to do that. That'll do extra detox. And when I really wasn't feeling well, I didn't even feel like getting in the bath. So I got off on my Epsom salt baths and I was settled down too late and I didn't feel like doing a bath last night either. So I'll probably do a bath today. And tomorrow I'll do a float and then I'll get back on the bath schedule there. I have so much Epsom salt stock. I really need to use it. So that's what happened there. So in terms of Valentine's Day passed and so Valentine's Day is what Ron and I consider to be our anniversary because it's the day 19 years ago that I showed up on Ron's doorstep bearing chocolate. So we consider that our anniversary. So we celebrated that and that was nice. He gave me a beautiful necklace and that was nice. And he brought me chocolate from the chocolate festival because on the day of the chocolate festival, I was sick. There was no way I was going anywhere. So I missed the chocolate festival 2 days in a row because last year on the chocolate festival, I was still positive for COVID. And this year I was sick and didn't feel well at all. So Ron got to go to the chocolate festival. I did not. Very sad. So hopefully next year I won't be sick. I'm not going to bank on that because this is about the time of year. The end of January, beginning of February is when Ron gets run down enough that he picks up some bug that he catches at the community center and then he brings it home to me. And a few days later, I catch it and we do our cold thing end of January, beginning of February. So anyway, I hope you had a great Valentine's Day. And Ron had a good time at the chocolate festival and the co-op birthday party. And so this is so last week they played my radio naturopath from last year, which talked about chocolate, and I didn't want to, I always love to do the chocolate show every year, so I'm doing that today. So we're going to talk about the health benefits of chocolate right now. Yay. Because chocolate is so good. So remember that cocoa is thought to first be used by the Mayan civilizations in Central America and introduced to Europe by Spanish conquerors in the 16th century. And it was thought of as a health-promoting medicine. You make cocoa powder by crushing the beans and removing the fat and cocoa butter. And cocoa is most famous for its role in chocolate production, but it does contain a lot of healthful compounds that help you with your health. So chocolate is really high in polyphenols, and they provide a lot of health benefits. Polyphenols are powerful antioxidants. And polyphenols are not only found in chocolate. They are found in foods like fruits and vegetables, chocolate, tea, wine, tea meaning black. Polyphenols can be in various plants. But when I say tea, I'm talking about Camellia sinensis. That's the plant that makes green, black, and white tea. There are plenty of polyphenols in there. When you process and heat cocoa, it can lose its beneficial properties, and it's also treated to reduce bitterness by alkalizing or dutching. When you get alkalized or dutched chocolate, it loses a lot of its polyphenol benefit. Not completely, but by about 60%. It loses 60% of its flavanols. So if you get chocolate that has not been dutched or alkalized, it's going to taste more bitter, but it's going to be better for you. And so you have to make sure that you're getting a chocolate product that is at least 70% cocoa and has not been dutched and has not been alkalized. So cocoa can help to reduce high blood pressure because it's a nitric oxide enhancer. Nitric oxide helps the blood vessels to relax and open and have more even laminar blood flow. So this effect was first noted in the people of Central America who drank a lot of cocoa. Their blood pressure was much lower than their non-cocoa drinking relatives. So the cocoa flavanols are thought to improve nitric oxides in your blood, which enhance the function of your blood vessels and reduce your blood pressure. There's been a whole bunch of trials on it, and it's a small but significant reduction in your blood pressure. And it's the effect is greater in people who already have high blood pressure than those without it, and slightly greater in younger people compared to older people. So older people, unfortunately, you're going to have less elasticity to the blood vessels, so it's going to be harder to get a good effect there. So remember, processing significantly reduces your flavanols. All right. Not only can it lower, anything that lowers your blood pressure is going to reduce your risk of heart attack and stroke. So because the flavanol-rich cocoa, again, and it's the same thing, it's because of the nitric oxide. So when you have nitric oxide enhancers, it's going to tend to reduce your risk of heart attack and stroke. The other foods that I talk about that are high in nitric oxide that are very easy to access and eat a lot of are beets, beet juice, and watermelon juice, because beets have betalains in them that promote nitric oxide production, and then watermelon has L-citrulline in it. And citrulline is easily converted by the body to L-arginine. In fact, if you take L-citrulline as an amino acid, it works better to lower your blood pressure than you raise your arginine levels more if you take L-citrulline than if you take L-arginine. So an L-citrulline powder is easy to find. You can easily, it's a powder, it doesn't taste like much, and you can throw it into any kind of a drink and take a bunch of it in a day. It's probably easier and cheaper to do L-citrulline by powder than it is to do it by pill. And then you get to drink something, and it's not another pill that you have to swallow. There was a review of a lot of studies that found that more chocolate consumption was associated with significantly lower dose risk of heart attack, stroke, and death. So if you eat more chocolate, you're less likely to die and get a heart attack or a stroke. And there were Swedish studies that found that it's linked to a lower rate of heart failure. You have to eat only doses up to a serving a day, and that's it. So frequent consumption of small amounts of cocoa-rich chocolate may have protective benefits for your heart. How cool is that? Polyphenols also improve blood flow to your brain and brain function. So this is polyphenols in general, wherever you get them from, whether you get them from your beets or your tea or your nuts and seeds, wherever the flavanols, polyphenols come from, you're gonna have better brain circulation. Again, nitric oxide, your friend, relaxes the muscles of your blood vessels, which improves blood flow and blood supply to your brain. So you're gonna have less turbulent blood flow, more even blood flow. Everything's gonna work better. And there are more studies that suggest that daily intake of cocoa can improve mental performance in people without mental impairment. So I should be telling people this when they come in. They say, I have dementia, what should I take? Well, get some raw organic cocoa powder and put it in everything. Cocoa flavanols can help with neuron production, brain function, and improve blood flow to your brain. And they may have a role in preventing dementia, like Alzheimer's disease. That's a possibility. Chocolate may improve your mood. Don't you feel happier when you eat the chocolate? I know I do. It has a positive impact on age-related mental degeneration. It helps your mood, symptoms of depression, and again, because of the flavanols. So flavanols, tryptophan gets converted to serotonin more readily when you have cocoflavanols around. And it also can be some of the caffeine. And some of it is just because it tastes so good. It's just when you eat a good quality chocolate, it has a lot, has a really wonderful flavor profile, and it's a pleasure. And so we know that one of the things that chocolate does is it increases your phenylethylamines. So phenylethylamine is something that makes you happier. Additionally, there was an older study in senior men that when you have a chocolate preference, it was linked to improved overall health and psychological well-being. So they need to study these more. Flavanols may improve symptoms of type 2 diabetes. So again, you have to be real careful about the sugar. The problem with chocolate is not the chocolate, it's the sugar. So if you use raw organic cocoa powder and you put it in anything, or you get cocoa nibs that are unsweetened and you throw them into anything, you can eat them. One of the nice things is to put cocoa nibs in with some fruit. So if you have cocoa nibs, a bowl of cocoa nibs with berries in it, you won't notice that the cocoa is bitter, because it'll feel like you're eating chocolate with fruit, and it'll taste sweet. The sweetness from the fruit will cross over to the chocolate. And so flavanols can improve your symptoms of type 2 diabetes. In test tubes, so out of the body, it's been shown that cocoa flavanols can slow down your carbohydrate digestion and absorption in your gut, improve insulin secretion, have anti-inflammatory effects, and increase the uptake of sugar into your muscles. And in general, just reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. So flavanol-rich dark chocolate may improve your insulin sensitivity and blood sugar control, and reduce inflammation in both diabetic and non-diabetic people. There are some inconsistencies in the research, with some studies finding only a limited effect, but it's going to depend. Like I said, I think one of the things you have to be careful of is when you're eating cocoa, the less sugar, the better. So if you can find a way to do cocoa without doing sugar, that's a better way to go. All right. And may also help weight control. So it can help you control your weight. And the way it might help is by regulating the use of energy, reducing your appetite, reducing inflammation, and increasing fatty oxidation. So there's a population study where they linked people who consume chocolate more frequently. They found people who consume chocolate more frequently tended to have a lower BMI, even though when you eat chocolate, you wind up eating more calories and fat. And then there was a low carb weight loss study with low carb diets found that a group that was given 42 grams of 81% cocoa chocolate a day lost weight faster than those who were not given to it. So if you do a bit of high flavanol cocoa, so at least 70% unsweetened cocoa, you're more likely to lose weight. That's what the study showed. Cocoa and cocoa-rich products might be helpful in achieving weight loss and maintaining weight. Cancer protective properties. Flavanols that in fruits and vegetables have attracted a lot of interest because of their cancer protective properties. Cocoa has the highest concentration of flavanols of all foods per weight, and so can significantly contribute to the amount in your diet. So there are studies on the components of cocoa, finds that they have antioxidant effects, protect your cells against damage from reactive molecules, reduce inflammation, they increase apoptosis, which is cancer cell death, and help prevent the spread of cancer cells. So if you're doing modified citrus pectins, probably a good idea to do some non-alkalized cocoa powder along with that. There were studies that showed a cocoa-rich diet with cocoa extracts have seen positive results in reducing breast, prostate, liver, pancreatic, and colon cancer, and leukemia. Flavanol-rich diets are shown with an overall reduction of cancer risk. So that's really exciting. And it just shows that there are small human studies that show that it can be a really powerful antioxidant and play a role in cancer prevention. Then there's theobromine and theophylline. Theobromine and theophylline, which are xanthine, they're methylxanthines, so they help to open up your breathing passageways. So the theobromine and theophylline that are in cocoa can help you breathe better. So it helps people with asthma. So cocoa in general is going to help people with asthma probably in a number of ways. It could be the theobromine and the theophylline and the caffeine, all of which are going to directly help with breathing. And then the flavanols are anti-inflammatory. The other thing is, I think the nitric oxide is going to help too. If it helps circulation to your blood vessels, it's also going to help circulation to your lungs and your breathing passages. So you're going to have more efficient breathing as well. So obviously you have to test these more before we say this is actually happening for sure. How do you include cocoa in your diet? Get some at least 70% cocoa powder, 70% cocoa chocolate. If you eat chocolate that has no sugar in it, you can eat it all day. It's very low in calories. So the way to do that is to get non-alkalized, non-dutched raw cocoa powder and put it in anything you think it's going to taste good in. It's going to taste good in a smoothie or applesauce or apple butter, or stirred into some jam. So those are ways to do the powder. You can get cocoa nibs and again, stir them into anything that's going to taste good. Yogurt, whether dairy yogurt or non-dairy yogurt, that's a great way to do them. If you don't mind having a chocolatey flavor in your oatmeal, that's a place to put them. You can put cocoa nibs or cocoa powder in your oatmeal. You could put it into your coffee if you want to, if you don't mind having it that way. You can also get cocoa that's meant to be brewed. You can get cocoa in tea bags. You can get cocoa that you can grind up and put through a French press and drink it that way. There are brands that are intended for that. And you can get raw organic cocoa beans they're prepared for consumption, grind them and brew them and drink it that way. You can also just get non-dutched hot cocoa and drink it that way. That's something that's already prepared. Just make sure it hasn't been alkalized. And so that can be harder to find because a lot of hot cocoa has been dutched. But again, remember, if you drink hot cocoa, it's got a 60% reduction in flavanols. So you're still going to get some. You're going to do better if it hasn't been dutched. And if you can eat stuff that's 100% cocoa with no sweetener and hasn't been alkalized or dutched, that's better. So finding ways to eat cocoa nibs is a great idea, and finding ways to use raw organic cocoa powder, that's really the best way to go. So you can get your raw organic cocoa powder and turn it into hot cocoa. You can certainly make it that way. And if you need to sweeten it, you can throw in maple syrup, you can throw in honey. And if you want to get even more of a kick to it this time of year, you can put in cayenne pepper. You can certainly put in cinnamon if you want to. And you're going to get more health benefits from those products. Cayenne pepper also is a nitric oxide enhancer. So cocoa plus cayenne pepper is really great for your blood pressure and your heart. If you then go ahead and add cinnamon to it, and cinnamon is that's a great blood sugar regulator. And we already know that the flavanols in cocoa are good for blood sugar regulation. So they call it kind of Mexican hot cocoa when it has something spicy as well as some cinnamon in it. Great way to go. We already said smoothies are a great way to go. You can make pudding. So a great thing you do is make chia pudding. So you soak chia seeds in, if you're doing dairy, you can do it in dairy milk. If not, you can do it in your favorite non-dairy milk and stir in cocoa powder that way. And then if you need to have some kind of sweetener, you can throw in, again, a little bit of maple syrup or coconut sugar or certainly cinnamon. Remember that when you add cinnamon to stuff, it makes stuff taste sweet. And if you put cinnamon in something, you may not need to add as much other sweetener. So it's a really good way to go, and it's good for you in so many ways. Chia pudding is great. You can make rice pudding too. And as I said, you could put it in your oatmeal if you want. If you don't mind having a chocolatey taste to your oatmeal, that's a great way to go. You can make a vegan chocolate mousse with avocado, cocoa, your favorite dairy substitute. And you could sweeten, another way to sweeten is with dates or date sugar, just actual dates, just chop dates and put them through. And you can make it, so avocado and chocolate, if you get the balance right. That's a great way to get your monounsaturated fatty acids and a bunch of fiber. And if you throw chia seeds in there too, it's a superfood. And maybe you want to, if you don't mind, you could throw a little spirulina in or chlorella, and then it's detoxifying too. So you don't have to do that if you're concerned about the taste profile. But another thing you could throw in there is matcha. If you're okay with the taste of matcha, matcha and cocoa together, now that's a superfood right there. So you can make yourself a matcha latte, and if you like the taste of the matcha, which is, you know, powdered green tea, along with the cocoa, great superfood thing to have together. You know, next time I make, because I like to make myself matcha lattes at home, and I get good quality organic matcha, and I just throw in some drinkable coconut milk, and then I put a little bit of sweetener in it, maybe a little bit of agave or coconut sugar, and I put in cinnamon, and I put a squirt of vanilla extract in it and shake it up, and now I have a matcha latte. It's much cheaper than going to the cafe to get it, and healthier, and I tend to put a lot less sweetener in it, and I put cinnamon in it, and so it's going to be a lot lower in calories, and because it's less sweet, I get more of the bitter benefits. And it's good to taste things that are bitter. It's good for your digestion. It prepares your body for what is to come. When you taste foods, it's really better to taste stuff than it is to take pills all the time, because your taste sensors tell your body what's coming, and you can prepare for it. And when you taste bitter things, it's better for your digestion. Bitter foods stimulate your secretion of stomach acid, so that's good for you. All right. And then you could sprinkle over fruit. Like I said, if you want to have a bowl of fruit, sprinkle raw organic cocoa powder with cinnamon if you want to. Or you can do cocoa nibs and you get crunch. And the cocoa nibs, even if they're unsweetened, you will get the sweet from the fruit and you won't mind. And it'll be good. You can make, if you want to make homemade granola bars, of course, that's a great way to go. And I would put the nibs in or powder in. And if you making homemade granola bars, great way to go. If you're eating cereal of some kind, you can throw cocoa nibs in there. I don't like to eat a bowl of cereal as a breakfast. I mean, if I do that, I like to have a very small amount of cereal with a lot of fruit and nuts and seeds, because I'm just concerned about the level of carbs. I mean, I will have vegan yogurt, non-dairy yogurt, and I'll put a little, like a sprinkle of some kind of granola, some gluten-free granola over it. And then I have a topper. So let me tell you what I don't know if I've talked about my yogurt topper. My yogurt topper is equal parts shredded coconut, goji berries, sunflower seeds, raw organic sunflower seeds, raw organic pumpkin seeds, and cacao nibs, and I think that's everything. And then I also put chia seeds. I like mushy chia seeds. I'm a chia seed lover, so I like to, I will set up yogurt, and I'll put, because I used to buy parfaits from our local cafe that is no longer there. So what I do is I'll layer two different flavors of non-dairy yogurt. I'll put it in a little container, and I'll take half of a container, layer it on the bottom, and then I'll layer a teaspoon or two of chia seeds over that, and then I'll put another layer of yogurt on top of that. So I have this yummy chia seed flavor that absorbs the moisture, and so I get sort of a chia yogurt layer in there. And so now I have this great yogurt that has probiotic in it. It has whatever fruit flavor is in there. And then it's got wonderful flavanols from the cocoa, from the cacao nibs. And then it's got monounsaturated fatty acids from and fiber from everything has fiber. All the items have fiber in them. Goji berries have a lot of flavonoids in them. They're wonderfully high in antioxidants. They're great for immunity. Coconut is going to give you medium chain triglycerides. And what was the other thing? So what do we say? Sunflower, pumpkin, goji, cacao. And there's one more thing in that. Sunflower, pumpkin, goji, cacao, and chia. And I think that's all of those things. Yeah, those are, so that's a great high fiber way to add crunch to your yogurt, and also add all those flavanols, and you can get the cocoa flavanols. So cocoa has captivated the world for thousands of years, And cocoa in general is anti-inflammatory, good for your heart, good for your brain, good for your blood vessels, reduces blood pressure and blood sugar. So be careful of the sugar and fat. If you are eating cacao nibs or you're eating raw organic cocoa powder, you can eat it all day because it's very low in calories. The monounsaturated fats are actually good for you and you're going to get a high level of flavanols. Needs to be not Dutched, not alkalized. I can't say it enough times. All right. Now, all right. So since it's around Valentine's Day, maybe you would like to know some foods that can help your sex life. So let's talk about that. Too bad Ron isn't here. He would like to hear this. He could hear it another time. So here's a bunch of foods that can help your sex life. And you know what it's going to be? It's going to be either stuff that improves testosterone function and also stuff that improves, guess what, nitric oxide function and probably mood too. So oysters, what's the deal? Everybody knows, thinks of oysters as aphrodisiacs, right? The reason that the oysters are aphrodisiacs is because they're high in zinc. So zinc is really good for blood flow. So it's going to enhance your nitric oxide and that can aid for circulation to your sex organs. It's helpful for male fertility. It's going to help to regulate testosterone levels and also help with healthy production of cells. That's part of how zinc works. So one of the cells that you want to produce healthfully is sperm. But that having healthy sperm isn't necessarily going to help your sex drive. Having healthy testosterone levels is. So testosterone, when you have enough testosterone, it goes to your brain, makes you want to have sex. Good stuff. All right, so oysters are pretty much the highest food source in zinc. And so one serving of oysters has 673% of your daily value. I didn't know that. That's incredible. Lobster and crab also have a lot of zinc, not as much as oysters, but they still have a lot of zinc. And we're in New England, so lobster can be an easy thing to find. Crab, I guess you can get crab from New England, but I always think of crab as being a little further south. I mean, Maryland is super proud of their crabs. And I know that you can go crabbing in Barnegat Bay in New Jersey. So there's definitely, I'm not sure what the crab deal is up here. If anybody knows, please write me in. What the situation with crabs are in New England. Like I said, I actually went crabbing when I was a long, long time ago, like probably 30, 40 years ago. Somewhere between 30 and 40 years ago, when I was with Russell. He had a boss who had a boat, and they took us out on the boat to Barnegat Bay, and we had somewhat rotted chicken backs. And we attached the chicken backs to strings, and the crabs love those. And we caught crabs in Barnegat Bay. And this is in New Jersey. So, I mean, Barnegat Bay, quite honestly, is not too far from Chesapeake Bay. It's maybe, I don't even know if it's 100 miles. Because to get from South Jersey to Maryland, it's pretty close. Mile-wise, I don't know off the top of my head. But, I mean, you're talking about some similar waters. Again, New England, I don't know. I would guess that the waters in general are somewhat colder up this way than they are down there. Anyway, so crab and lobster. Lobster, of course, is a big New England thing from Maine all the way down to here. You can get lobster anywhere. So, all right. There are non-seafood sources of zinc. That's going to be beef, pork, baked beans, pumpkin seeds, which we already talked about, and cereals fortified with zinc, and maybe you're taking a zinc pill because you're concerned about your immune system. All right. So Craig says that Brewster on the Cape Cod, they catch them on the incoming tide. So they do crab in Cape Cod. So there you go. They don't just have cod in Cape Cod. I know they have haddock in Cape Cod because I had some and it was good. Oh my goodness. The fish there was so fresh from the local fish market. My goodness. And that, where was I? I was in East Ham? Yeah, and fabulous there. All right, so certain meats can help with your sex drive. And the reason they think that is because of the carnitine, the L-arginine, and once again, the zinc. So L-arginine, again, is something that's going to help your circulation. Anything that helps your circulation is going to help your sex drive because you get sex drive down to the... you get circulation down to your sex organs. Arginine supplements can help to treat mild to moderate erectile dysfunction. You have to be careful about eating too much red meat. And again, when you're eating red meat, it's best to eat grass-fed and finished so you're not getting pesticides and you're going to get more of the things that are good about red meat are higher in things that are grass-fed and finished. So you're going to get more vitamin K2. You're going to get more conjugated linoleic acid in the form that you're meant to consume it in. And you're not going to get poor quality fats. So when animals eat grain, their linoleic acid levels go up. And so they have more inflammatory fats in their fat. So if they eat only grass and hay, they're going to have an essential fatty acid profile that's more similar to fish. Whereas if they consume grain, then they're going to be much fattier and they're going to have more inflammatory linoleic acid in their flesh. So you're going to get more L-carnitine and L-arginine if you eat grass-fed beef. All right, salmon has great omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3 fatty acids, fish oil, and omega-3 fatty acids in general are going to be good precursors to help you make proper reproductive hormones and helps with healthy cell development, reduces inflammation, and also can help reduce the risk of coronary heart disease. Fish is a great source of protein, vitamin D, B12, and zinc. The FDA recommends at least 2 servings of fish a week. And so if people are not super big on taking fish oil supplements, I try to encourage them to eat 2 or 3 servings of fish a week. We probably do that, the 2 or 3 servings. This time of year, we're eating so much soup and the soup that we eat tends to be chicken. So we tend to eat a lot of chicken this time of year. So probably a little less fish than we do in the summer, but we do get in fish maybe 2 or 3 times a week. But I take fish oil every day. I don't know that Ron does, but I do. Nuts and seeds, good for your sex drive. And they are full of, you guessed it, zinc. Zinc, as we said, zinc is helpful in testosterone production. Testosterone is not for men only. Testosterone improves sex drive and helps sex drive in both men and women. So the nuts you might enjoy, sunflower and pumpkin seeds, that goes in my yogurt. Walnuts, which I put in my salad regularly. Pecans, don't forget about pecans because pecans are really high in flavonoids. And so if you're not going to eat a whole bunch of different nuts all the time, make sure that you rotate through them and you get almonds. Don't just get almonds. Like I was in the habit of getting almonds and walnuts all the time. But pecans are super high in flavonoids. They're really great antioxidants. All of the nuts are going to be high in fiber. Then hazelnuts. Hazelnuts as well. Hazelnuts are lovely. They have a really interesting taste. They pair well with chocolate. So if you get a 70% plus cacao chocolate with hazelnuts in it, off you go. And then peanuts, as long as you're not allergic to them. And make sure peanuts are really important to get organic because they're not organic. They're heavily sprayed. So they're going to have a lot of pesticides in them. Peanuts are not actually a nut, but they function like a nut and they have a flavor profile that's sort of like a nut, but they're kind of different. They're very distinctive. They taste different than hazelnuts and almonds, which are more sort of similar to each other. But even so, I can tell the difference between different nuts. But peanuts, even though they are a legume, they sort of function like a nut because you can make nut butter out of them. They're crunchy. They're a great source of protein. And if you can eat them and they don't bother you, they're very good for you. High in alpha-linolenic acid, high in fiber. And the other thing you should remember about nuts is nuts have X number of calories per unit volume. But you don't, eating 100 calories of nut is not the same as eating 100 calories of donut. Because when you eat nut, nut has a lot of fat that you don't absorb. It goes through you, has a lot of fiber in it that helps it to go through you as well. You're not going to be absorbing 100% of the caloric content of nuts. Whereas if you're eating high carbohydrate, you're generally going to absorb all of those calories. And nuts and seeds are really high in fiber, so they help you be regular. And the monounsaturated fatty acids, when you eat foods that are high in fiber, they reduce the caloric impact of that food. All right, and then there's apples. Apples are really good for you. Apples are high, you always forget this, apples are high in quercetin. I take quercetin because it's one of the anti-inflammatory compounds you take when you have tick-borne illness. I always think of onions as being high in quercetin, which they are, but apples are too. And apples are good for your sex drive. So quercetin helps with circulation. It can directly treat erectile dysfunction, and it can also help with prostatitis. So if you have an enlarged prostate, it can be helpful for that. It can also help to lower blood pressure. So I'm taking 1,000 milligrams a day, so I can get that effect. And if you have hypertension, that can lead to sexual dysfunction because of the damage to blood vessels. And that's one of the causes of erectile dysfunction. So guys who eat more fruit have reductions in erectile dysfunction because they get more flavonoids. And the flavonoids are strengthening to blood vessels. And when guys come in and they have erectile dysfunction, one of the things I do recommend to them is to take flavonoids. I should really be telling them, make sure you eat your fruit. An apple a day keeps the doctor away and may help your sexual function as well. Flavonoid-rich foods are going to be a lot of fruit, apples, strawberries, blueberries, dark-colored grapes, red wine, citrus fruits, cherries, and you know, citrus has a lot of citrus bioflavonoids. All right, don't forget your beets. Beets have the betalains in it, which are nitric oxide enhancers. Anything that's a nitric oxide enhancer is going to enhance your sexual function. So beets and beet juice and watermelon juice because of the L-citrulline and the increase in arginine. So even just one dose of beet juice or doses over a few days can improve your performance at high-intensity exercise. So beets are one of those superfoods that you can take before you work out, and it'll help to increase your energy and your exercise function. So the nitrates from beet juice can help with your blood pressure. Again, the nitrates that are in beets help you make nitric oxide, and that's also going to help your sexual function. So high nitric oxide foods, arugula. I didn't know that arugula is sometimes known as rocket. I suppose it could be called rocket just because of how spicy it is. It's like sending a rocket into your mouth, I suppose. That is probably my favorite green. I love the way it tastes. Not everybody's going to like the intense spiciness of arugula, but when Tobacco Road Farm in the summer, when they're growing the arugula, I get really excited, and they hand me a bag and I start sitting there munching on it straight up. But I love that spiciness of arugula. Spinach also happens to be high in nitric oxide. Cress is high in nitric oxide as well. So cress is another super spicy green in the mustard family. Lettuce, which is not in the mustard. So by the way, did you know that arugula and cress and collards and bok choy and are all, they are all in the cruciferous, they're cruciferous vegetables in the mustard green, mustard family. But spinach is not. Spinach is in the same family. It's a chenopodium. It's a chenopod, or as Maura Isles said on Rosolian Isles, a chenopod. But anyway, I always thought it was a chenopod, but who knows? Anyway, it's in the same family as it's in the same family as amaranth and quinoa, whereas lettuce is its own family. And it's not lettuces, your romaine and your leaf lettuce and your bib lettuce and your iceberg lettuce, they're not cruciferous. They have their own family. Celery and radishes also are high in nitrates. You'll have improved nitric oxide function if you consume them. And then red wine. Red wine also has quercetin, which is an antioxidant that improves blood flow. There was a study in 2009 involving almost 800 women who found that regular moderate intake of red wine was increased sexual desire, lubrication, and sexual function in women. Very cool. So that's something nice to note. But if you drink more than 2 glasses of red wine a day, that doesn't produce the same results. If you have too much alcohol, it's going to suppress your sexual function because it suppresses your reproductive hormones. But moderate intake, that's going to be something like 1 glass of wine every couple of days. So 2 to 4 glasses a week, and that's it. Maybe I should drink a little more wine. Maybe have a glass a week at least. There are certain foods that can keep your blood pumping and boost your hormone levels. And so if you're having that issue, you should talk to your doctor or your friendly local naturopath, because we got stuff to help you. All right. So then there's exercise for better sex. So here's some exercise that can help you with better sex. So exercises that men can do for better sex. weight training, weightlifting. This is true for men and women, but weight training, the thing is, when you have more muscle mass, you have more metabolically active tissue. That metabolically active tissue will make more testosterone for you. And when you do a weight training exercise, you will have more sex drive after that workout. So I've joked about this before. If you have a partner and you want to have a nice evening and be intimate with each other, go lift some weights or go to your partner and say, honey, do you want to move some furniture? And then see what happens afterwards. Because when you challenge your muscles, you release more testosterone. When you have more muscle mass present, you have more testosterone. Weightlifting causes the body to produce testosterone, which is a precursor for the male sex drive and the female sex drive. So short, intense exercise like weightlifting can increase your testosterone levels immediately. Push-ups, sit-ups, crunches, and I would also say yoga. If you do some, not necessarily yin yoga, but yoga where you're doing vinyasas, where you're challenging your muscles, that's going to increase your sex drive too. Kegel exercises, not surprising. You can do Kegels. Men and women can do Kegels. That's where you tone your pubococcygeal muscle, the ones that you squeeze to stop your flow of urine or to hold on to so you don't pee. Men can use Kegels to delay ejaculation. So you can practice that by squeezing off while you're doing urine, or just practice that feeling of squeezing. When anybody is having issues with urinary incontinence, one of the things I'll do is encourage them to do Kegel exercises. And you do that squeezing sensation, try to do 100 a day. So every time you pick up your phone, do 10. So since we pick up our phones a lot during the day, you're going to get to 100 pretty quick. So, and another time to do it is if you're driving a lot, every time you hit a stop sign or a stoplight, do 10. Yoga, I already said it. Yoga will give you better sex by letting your body get into creative positions. This makes you more flexible. That's where they're going with this. It's not just about the flexibility. It's also about the hormones. It's also about, because you're stimulating various organs in your body. When you spend time in poses, you can spend more time in other poses while you're actually having sex. You're going to be tensing and working your core. Anything that works your core is going to improve your pelvic circulation. You have improved pelvic circulation, it's going to help your sex drive. Fast walking can help your sex drive. Who knew? And it's going to be any aerobic activity as long as it's not done to excess. That's going to increase your blood flow, and you're going to increase your HDL, and you're going to make sure your arteries are more clear. So cardio exercise is something that can help you with your sex because you want circulation to get to your sex organs. If you're a guy and you're having issues with erectile dysfunction, cardio exercise is going to help you raise that HDL, get their arteries clear. Things are going to work better. It helps with women as well. Swimming also can help with sex drive. And swimming, again, this is because of the cardio component of it. Swimming also, if you do intervals in swimming, you're going to build muscle mass. And again, when you build muscle mass, you have more testosterone, better sex drive. And when you lose excess body fat, that can be helpful too. So when you are, so either resistance training and cardio exercise will both help with reducing excess body fat. So that's some exercise that can help with your sex drive. All right. And here's exercise for better sex for women. So exercise for better sex for women. Let's see. So this is what I'm looking at, a workout here. This is a better sex workout. So here it is. So you start by doing a plank for 20 seconds, that's pretty manageable. I mean, it's manageable for me. It might not be manageable right away, but you can work up to 20 seconds. Glute bridges for 15 reps. So you lift yourself up. I would count to, I would hold for two and then go down for three, hold for two, go down for three. Do those for 15 reps. Jump squats for 10 to 15 reps. So that's going to give you a little plyometric. If you can't do jump squats, then I would just do plain squats. 10 kegels with 5 to 10 second holds. And you can do the kegels as part of bridges if you want to. 10 to 15 reps of push-ups can help. And then pigeon pose, hold for 1 minute on each side. So pigeon pose, that's something that's going to help to open up your hips and open up circulation into your hips. So that routine can be really helpful. And then they give you instructions on how to do these things. So this is very nice. It's a nice workout. And I like, when I do pigeon pose, I have a hard time putting my hip all the way down. So I just stick a block under my hip so that I can get myself into the 90 degree angle with my knee. You don't, and then there are those who feel like you don't have to have that 90 degree angle in your knee. You can have a more acute angle in your knee if you can't get it to 90 degrees. And if I would do that, I wouldn't need the block. All right, so that's for women. All the things I said for men apply to women too. I mean, women who do weight training or swimming or fast walking or Kegels, all of those are going to help women as well. All right, so did you know that sex has health benefits? Of course. So sex has health benefits. Sex itself can help to lower your blood pressure, help you burn calories, increase your heart health, strengthen your muscles, reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease, strokes, high blood pressure. Having sex increases your sex drive. So it's a move it or lose it phenomenon. You'll have a stronger immune system. I'll just read these off, and I think what I'm going to do is I'll go into this more deeply next week, and we'll pick up where we left off. But it helps your immune system. It helps you to sleep better. It helps you if you get headaches. It tends to help you with headaches. In men, it helps again if you. If you have regular ejaculations, you're much less likely to reach a prostate cancer diagnosis. Sex can also help your mortality. Men who had frequent orgasms had a 50% lower, that's two or more a week, that's not even that much, a 50% lower mortality rate than those who had sex less often. With women, there's a whole bunch of health benefits that can help women too. Including bladder control and incontinence, and anything to do with reproductive health. So I think I want to pick up here next week because this is a good talk, and I'll get more in depth with all of these items. So thank you for listening today. So you have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am France Dorch, ND, naturopathic physician. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out my podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranceDorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, and WHUS.org.